This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, sevillepodcast.com.
In a springtime ritual repeated in thousands of communities across the country, the school board in Dover, Pennsylvania, convened in 2004 for the seemingly innocuous purpose of adopting new textbooks. Instead, Dover became the first school district in America to mandate the teaching of a new and controversial blend of religion and science known as intelligent design, a 21st century take on creationism that attempts to poke holes in evolutionary theory while avoiding any mention of God or the Bible. The maelstrom that followed became the subject of a media fixation, a sensational trial, a town torn down the middle, and a still-raging national debate, all based on the simple question, what happens when science and religion collide? My guest is Pulitzer Prize-winning author Edward Humes. He joins us on the long line, and his new book is Monkey Girl, Evolution, Education, Religion, and the Battle for America's Soul. Good afternoon, Ed.
Hey, Coy, how you doing?
I'm doing terrific. Thank you for spending some time with us. Great book, and I'm sure, like all of your books, this was a lot of fun to work on and to write. It's just a wonderful book. Tell us, where's the best place to start with this? What's amazing to me, I think, Ed, is that we still have a nation that seems to be torn down the middle about evolution, and you would have thought, wasn't this decided in the 1920s with the Scopes monkey trial?
Well, you know, I thought that myself, and it turns out that the Scopes monkey trial didn't really decide much of anything. It made for a great play and movie, Inherit the Wind, but as far as resolving the legal and scientific questions, it was pretty much of a bust. In fact, the judge ruled all of the scientific expert testimony that had been assembled for the case to be irrelevant to the question that was at hand, which was whether or not a teacher had broken the law by teaching evolution, which at that time, in the state of Tennessee, where the trial took place, was illegal. So, really, this is the first trial of its kind in many years, the case that you just described in Dover, Pennsylvania, involving intelligent design, that really put the science out there on both sides of the question and to see which ideas were appropriate and which ones weren't for public school classrooms.
My guess is Edward Humes, Pulitzer Prize-winning author. His new book is Monkey Girl. Ed, your book really takes a lot of evolution facts and myths, takes a lot of the myths head-on and really unpacks them and explores them and really tries to educate folks and get past the what you might hear on cable TV when people are screaming at each other, which, of course, is
That never happens. Come on.
It's rarely in-depth, let's just say that. What do you think are some of the big myths that people have out there about evolution? There's a lot of people who think it's not really science.
One of the interesting things about this trial in Pennsylvania was that was one of the questions that was explored in depth. What is science? Who was Charles Darwin? What did he really say? And is it true that accepting the science of evolution means rejecting religion? And the answers that seem to be emanating from that case, the ones that seem most convincing to folks like me who are sitting and watching and to the judge who ultimately ruled on the case was no, there doesn't need to be such a conflict, and that there are a lot of misconceptions. It's one of the things that fascinated me, and one of the reasons I wanted to take on this project, because I didn't know what the answer was at the outset. How is it that in America, the vast majority of scientists who, contrary, here's one of the myths, two-thirds of scientists believe in God in America. They're not atheists, by and large, although that is the sort of myth that has arisen. Well, how is it that the vast majority of scientists accept evolution as one of the most powerful and well-documented and supported scientific theories out there, and yet two-thirds of Americans, where we love the fruits of science, our DVD players and our iPods and our medical technology, I mean, we love that stuff, and we rely upon it, yet we reject and distrust the scientists themselves when they tell us that this particular theory is solid. It's such a huge disconnect between the average American and the scientific community. And it seems that the answer that emerged in this trial is just, as you said, there is a lot of myths and misconceptions about what science can and can't tell us about where we come from.
And Ed Humes is our guest, Pulitzer Prize-winning author. The book is Monkey Girl. Have we seen, perhaps, over the last, well, I don't know, 20, 30 years, a concerted, energized effort on the part of religious fundamentalists to go after evolution? Is this something new, or have they always done this?
Well, it's not new. It has been. There's been cycles of it. It came to a head with the Scopes trial in the 1920s, and then faded into the background for a while. And then there was a big push to reinvigorate scientific instruction in our public schools after Sputnik launched in the late 1950s. The Eisenhower administration said, we're falling behind. It's a matter of national security. We need better science instruction. And that's when evolutionary theory found its way back into the classrooms after a long post-Scopes hiatus, and the controversy started up again. And there was attempts to first to introduce creationism and then something else called creation science. And the Supreme Court shot down those ideas as improper instruction in a specific religious idea in our public schools that violated the Constitution. And now this idea of intelligent design has come up to fill the void. It's not overtly religious in the sense that it doesn't invoke scriptures. It doesn't identify this intelligent designer that proponents of this idea say can be detected inside living creatures. But it does raise some thorny issues about what's appropriate for public schools. And when the school board in Dover introduced this idea into the classroom, a number of parents banded together and sued them, claiming that it was really amounted to proselytizing in our public schools.
Let's talk about the origins of this, of the intelligent design movement. And is it appropriate to say it is a movement?
They describe themselves as a movement. And the origins are very interesting. It was an idea that one of the organizations that is a strong advocate for it is based up in Seattle, Washington. It's called the Discovery Institute. And they're very adamant in saying this is a scientific idea, it's not a religious idea, although, interestingly enough, much of their funding comes from some very conservative religious sources, including one philanthropist who has in the past advocated replacing our current system of government with a theocracy. So there's some mixed messages going on there, and it's clear that the proponents of intelligent design believe that evolution is bad science and also bad for society, that it breeds what they say is a materialist worldview and an immoral worldview, and a lot of the social ills that they identify in American culture, they seem to chalk up to teaching the theory of evolution.
How is there even a cause and effect? Because you certainly can't make the case that the teaching of evolution has undermined a belief in God. That is absolutely not the case.
Well, and in fact, that was the great moments in this trial, when scientists who are evolutionary biologists or who are strong proponents of a full and detailed teaching of evolution in our public schools also testified to the fact that they were religious people themselves, Roman Catholics and Protestants, and believers in the idea that God created the universe, but that to them there is no conflict between the theory of evolution and the and their personal faith. But it's also clear that individuals who believe in very literal interpretations of the Bible, who believe that a lot of scientific ideas are wrong, that the 4 billion years age of the Earth that most scientists accept, and it doesn't really have anything to do with the theory of evolution, but is more about geology, they reject that as well, because in their reading of the Old and New Testaments, those ideas contradict the Bible. So individuals who have those religious beliefs are going to have conflicts with all sorts of scientific ideas, although the one that seems most objectionable to them is the is the theory of evolution. And in fact, it was individuals with those beliefs who initiated this controversy in Dover.
My guest is Pulitzer Prize-winning author Edward Humes. His new book is Monkey Girl: Evolution, Education, Religion, and the Battle for America's Soul. The phone lines are open if you've got a comment or a question at 977-1070. Ed, I know this wasn't the particular purview of your book, but what about the rest of the world globally when we talk about evolution in schools? What are other modern industrialized nations, where are we on a scale of teaching or belief or controversy? Does most of the rest of the world just look at us and say, what are you arguing about?
This is a uniquely, in terms of the Western nations, this is a uniquely American controversy. There is the occasional flap. There was one going on recently in Great Britain about whether or not intelligent design should be taught in certain kinds of classes or discussed, but nothing like the culture wars we have here that really do put science and faith on a collision course. We're pretty unique in that regard. And I really found that much of the source of the conflict is not so much hardline religious doctrines and disagreements with science. It's really misconceptions about what evolutionary theory says. You know, a common misconception, I'll give you one example, is that, oh, I object to evolutionary theory because it says all of life on Earth is just a random accident and it's just a purposeless, meaningless world if you believe in evolution. Well, that's not true. Evolutionary theory describes a process that is the opposite of random, that explains how across generations living organisms adapt to their environments. It's an explanation that doesn't involve an intelligence guiding it at every step of the way, as the intelligent design advocates suggest, but instead a natural process that allows organisms to become to survive. Because if we didn't have the ability to change over time across generations, the result of that is extinction, which is what happened to the dinosaurs. You know, they were supremely adapted to a particular environment, and then when the climate and food supply changed radically, they were unable to survive and perished. It's the reason why we have the world we have today.
The book is Monkey Girl. The author, Edward Humes, is our guest, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. You were talking about some of the misconceptions of evolution that a lot of, there's a lot of fundamentalist Christians out there who just, they absolutely believe in some of these myths of evolution, one of which, another one that comes to mind, is this belief that evolution says that all life evolved out of this primordial ooze, billions of years ago on the planet, and when in fact evolution really has nothing to do with the origins of life.
No, that's true. It's Darwin's book was The Origin of Species, not The Origins of Life. And there are attempts scientifically to understand how a natural process might account for the origins of life, but it's not the theory of evolution. It's something different, and it's very speculative at this point. We really don't know where life came from as a scientific proposition. But what the theory of evolution describes is once life is around, what sort of natural processes can account for it changing and for becoming more complex? For instance, how is it that a turtle, for instance, can have one type of turtle can be a desert animal and another can be ideally suited for a marine environment, and yet they are very closely related animals and clearly share a common ancestor, which is another principle of evolution, common ancestry. Understanding how the animals can adapt to different environments is part of what evolutionary theory tries to explain.
And you mentioned common ancestors. That's another myth of evolution that a lot of folks believe, that evolution says we evolved out of monkeys and apes.
Yes, and that is that's a misstatement as well. What evolutionary theory says is that human beings and all other creatures on Earth are related in the distant past. You know, chimpanzees and monkeys are just as evolved as we are today. The modern chimpanzee or the modern monkey, it just evolved in a different direction. If you can go back far enough, back millions of years, if you could look back in time, and if evolutionary theory is correct, there would be a creature that was neither a chimpanzee or a human, but would have qualities that in common with each of us. And that creature, according to the theory, would have one group of it would have gone in one direction into one environment, and the other in a different direction in a different environment, and over a very long period of time would have diverged and evolved into the creatures we know as human beings and chimpanzees today. That's what the theory says. So not descended from monkeys, but sort of distant cousins of monkeys, I guess. And maybe that's a fine distinction for people, but it is a distinction. Because the question is, well, if we evolved from monkeys, why are there still monkeys? And that's where the misnomer comes in. It's not that, you know, you could wait forever, and a modern chimpanzee is not going to turn into into a human being. It may evolve into something else, but there's no reason, you know, it just doesn't work that way.
Edward Humes, Pulitzer Prize-winning author. The book is Monkey Girl. Paul is on the line. Paul, thanks for the call. You're on with Ed Humes. We've got about a minute and a half left, so Paul, make it quick.
Okay, I'll make it quick then, sir. Hey, thank you for taking my call. I'm a professional earth scientist, have been for 30 years, and I am a Christian, and I'd like to hear what you had to say there. I was just passing through the room, and my cohorts and I, we all have to go through this period of rectifying that, but it works perfectly when you look at the natural world. The question I have for you, sir, is the question of science versus faith, which I think decocks it on down to what the real question is.
Well, thanks, Paul, and you're exactly right. I mean, that is the crux of the question. And do people have to feel that science disparages or attacks their faith? And the answer that emerged in this intelligent design versus evolution case is no. You know, there was this scientist from Brown University and an advocate of evolution and a practicing Roman Catholic, and he says, I know that evolution is good science. It's one of the strongest theories we have. And I also believe that God is the author of all things seen and unseen. I'm a devout Catholic, and there is no conflict in my mind. This is the scientist from Brown University talking between the two. It's because the science just explains, that offers natural explanations for nature, and religion offers spiritual explanations. It answers the why questions. Why are we here? Or attempts to answer those. Science is all about the how question. How does this work? How did that happen? And if you look at it that way, there's really no... They're answering completely different questions and can never contradict one another.
Pulitzer Prize-winning author Edward Humes, author of the new book, Monkey Girl, Evolution, Education, Religion, and the Battle for America's Soul. Thank you, Ed.
My pleasure, Coy.
Take care.
Thanks.
This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.